condition requires evidence of an easement or right of way over the adjoining land owned by the Department of Health. We believe that that condition is unnecessary in this particular case and would place an unreasonable burden on this development and probably in all possibility prevent it from happening. The reason we think it is unnecessary is when the building was originally approved in 1990, arrangements were put in place with the Department of Health, or the hospital as it was then, for access to be provided via the what's now the university land. University land, it's owned by the Department of Health, but over their existing car park. And that was to provide access for delivery vehicles and garbage collection. There was an exchange of letters between the hospital and the nursing home, and that enabled those arrangements that have been in place now since 1990 to remain. There is a condition of the 1990 consent which provides an alternative in the event that for whatever reason that access is no longer available, and that is for delivery vehicles and garbage collection to occur from Wharf Road and not Fredbert Street. There is a condition in exactly the same terms that is proposed as part of the operational consent for this development. The development itself does not change access arrangements via the university land in any way. It does not increase the intensity of development or the number of trips or in any way necessitate the need for a change to the existing condition and the existing mode of operation. So for those reasons, we would like the panel to strike out the deferred commencement condition and issue a operational consent in the terms otherwise expressed in the recommendation. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Taylor is going to ask questions and also take the running on this matter.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Brindle, in relation to your request relating to the use of the adjoining land,
yes,
why wouldn't there be a need for owner's consent?
Because nothing is changing in relation to that. The application didn't propose any development on that land or any change to the nature of access or movement. All of the works were solely related to the subject site.
We were told on site by one of the representatives that you are hoping to change the front of the building to be the one facing the university site. And you are changing the design accordingly.
As I understand it, the way the application is presented, I'll let Mr. John speak on behalf of Aldersgate, but the entrance arrangements remain as they are now, primarily off Fredbert Street, but with an additional entrance for staff and visitors off Wharf Road, adjoining the proposed new car parking area. Yes.
Would there be any reason why that should not be provided to the council?
I think it was.
The actual letters?
I believe so, yes.
So what were the letters?
An exchange of letters between the Department of Health or the Rozelle Hospital and the Central Sydney Area Health Services it then was, and Leichhardt Uniting Church Homes and Community Service.
We have both of those, documents.
I've got a copy here.
Yeah, so is it a letter, an unpaid letter from Peter Collins?
Yes, yes.
And it says you can use it for recreation purposes?
Yes, that's...
And from Rosehill Hospital?
Yes.
July 1991?
Yes, 10th of July 1991. And a letter, 15th of July 1991 from Leichhardt Uniting Church Homes. So the letter from Rozelle Hospital, dated 10 July 1991, was the circumstances under which the hospital would agree to the ongoing use of the driveway by Aldersgate. And the letter of the 15th of July from Leichhardt Uniting Church Homes was an agreement to the effect that they agree to all of those stated conditions. Now, as a result of that agreement, there's another letter from the architect to council saying that based on this agreement, we're going to proceed to construct the new access and the development. And since that time, it's operated effectively and will continue to do so. The Department of Health, as I understand it.
Still the owner?
Yes.
Despite the facts being used by the University of Tasmania?
As I understand it, yes.
Okay. And so the basis is there's no change to the arrangements, and it is your, the opinion of your lawyers is that these documents constitute the licence.
That's correct.
Thank you. Did you speak of any other matters, Mr. Brindle?
No.
Parking,
yeah, and I think John Martin will talk to you about the conditions that you discussed with him this morning.
Thank you. Your name?
John Martin from United.
John Martin.
Martin, yes.
And we met you on site this morning.
Yes, you did, yes.
What
okay.
Is your position?
I'm the development manager for Uniting, leading the development process at Uniting, property development manager.
You've heard the complaints about the residents about parking. Mm. And I think today on site we noticed a fairly empty car park. Mm. Is it the intention that that basement car park will be used for staff parking?
After you left this morning, I walked around and talked to all the staff and the manager. Of our 25 staff on site, only six drove to work today. Yes, one did park out in the street, and all the other cars are in the basement as per normal. So a lot of our staff in that area actually do come by public transport or walk to work.
Thank you. My question is it your intention to use that basement parking for staff parking?
Yes, it will be used for staff parking.
How will you ensure the staff park there?
So that's a more operational procedure we'll put in place. Yes, we acknowledge there's some access issues where not all staff have easy access. They just have to ring. And where, as part of our project, we'll improve the control so they'll put a PIN number in and all the staff can get easy access into the basement car park.
So this could be formalised by a plan of management.
Absolutely.
An operational plan of management where you set out exactly what will be done to encourage the staff to use the car park.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you wouldn't disagree with the condition that said that the management would take an active role in providing the parking and getting the staff to park there and not in the street.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, because I think it should, we told you today that it would be easier for visitors to park in the street and your other car parks than to go down into that garage, and they only stay for a short time, whereas the staff parks there for a considerable number of hours per day.
I also want to investigate whether, if our staff aren't using as many car parks, whether we can make spaces, whether we can use that for visitors and if that's practical from an access control and security perspective. So I think it is a bit of a wasted space when there's so much demand out in the street. So that's, once again, an operational plan of an attack that we are looking at. But it will vary over time as staff more drive and less use public transport.
Do I understand you don't really know until today who drove and who came by public transport?
It varies shift by shift about what the where the staff come from.
But it doesn't vary the people that work for you?
No.
So it's easy to undertake a survey and to make appropriate arrangements?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Right. And you'd accept a condition that that required you to be active in managing that car parking in that way?
No, that's fair. I know.
Thank you. In relation to the visitor car parking, where is it proposed to be?
So we have a couple of spots out on Fredbert Street, and yes, then the six extra spots on the top off Wharf Road is our current proposal.
Do your visitors know about those spaces at the present time?
They know only ones at the current visitor spots all are off Fredbert Street, and there is signs out the front which actually indicate that's visitors parking, service parking around the back. So that's clearly identified on the street signage.
So then to be cooperative with the neighbours and advising your visitors where to park, you would accept a condition in your plan of management to say that you will make known where the visitor car parking is and make it known by way of perhaps little maps and perhaps something on the website?
When we introduce that Wharf Road parking, we will need to advertise it to our family and residents and family and friends who visit, because it doesn't exist now, so we have to do that.
And in that plan of management, you'd be happy to accept a rule that you will not, for example, put skips, bins or box in any of the car parking spaces in
That's quite fair and reasonable.
Yes, thank you. And in that regard, some changes would have to be made. Also, you would accept a condition, would you not, in the plan of management, that the basement parking is not to be used for vehicles that have no relationship with the operation of the hospital?
That's fair and reasonable.
Because I think that's occurred in the past.
It has occurred in the past.
Vehicles from other uses. So that's not to occur in the future.
Well, they were pooled vehicles across a number of sites.
So that's not going to happen in the future. It's only going to be parking for the residents.
Well, for family, staff and...
The staff and then the visitor for visitors.
Yes.
And what, one shuttle bus?
Yes, there will be one shuttle bus that our residents there do use, and it'll have to come and go as required.
All right, but not multiples?
No.
Okay, thank you.
So, and you will encourage, through the plan of management, the access to the car parking in the basement via Wharf Road?
Yes, we'll be... staff carping is off Fredbert Street currently as per the last DA. It was only service vehicles to use the rear access.
I see. So why aren't the staff using the car parking from Fredbert Street?
As I said today, only six staff parked in the basement, because that's all that drove to work today when you were there. So
the evidence from the residents is that the staff don't park there most of the time.
Look, I've only been involved in this place for 12 months and watched it over the time we developed the DA. Staff do change and practice do change, and I think we have to have a better operational plan of management. That's fair.
Will you be responding to those people who have written regarding this if you were to do that? And it's perhaps unfortunate that something hasn't been done beforehand. So do you presently have an operational plan of management for the aged care facility?
There's a plan of management. I don't think it would detail down to parking at that level of detail.
Yes. So if this panel were to seek from you, by way of a condition of the consent, that there be an operational plan of management that dealt with all of these matters in detail, that document was published on your website and, of course, would be on the council's list of conditions, and the plan of management to be approved by the council staff... in relation to all of these matters of concern, that would be a condition that you would embrace.
That's fair and reasonable.
Thank you.
And that plan of management would include a complaints register and a person in the building that the residents can contact if they have any concerns, and in the various, you might have them at other...
United already has that in place on our website, that you can go and make complaints anonymously through our corporate
Yes, but we're talking about specifically for this site,
well,
the local, particularly the local residents. A second question I had was, on site you told us that you're going to encourage the main entry to the building to actually be down at level one, which is the same level as the car park. And when you look at it, it mainly fronts towards the Department of Health land. But there is, in this proposal, a pathway down your boundary from Wharf Road to that area, presumably from the six car parks you're going to provide, so that we got the impression that what you're really doing is changing the reception process, particularly for visitors to and from the facility. How do you propose to get people to understand that that's the way you go now, instead of through Fredbert Street?
There's two parts to our model of care that we implement, and one is that every household, we're trying to build a household of 20 people who live together, have their own private entrance. So you don't always go to reception, sign in like a hospital type area, that you can actually, if you know your mother is in room 3 of the Topaz wing, you can go straight there. So if they parked at Fredbert Street, they have a path through the lift and front doors straight into the see their parents or their family, friends, etc. If you did not know where to go and you're the first time to a facility, whether you come in Fredbert Street or off Wharf Road, there is signage to take you to the reception concierge type function, which is on level one in the current basement type area. We, just to clarify something I said on site, we are looking about basically building this with two entrances, one at Fredbert Street and one at the back. Our preference, and we have been talking to Department of Health for 12 months now about trying to get a legal right of way, if we were successful in the future of doing that, then we would try and direct more of our visitors and their first timers to come off the Wharf Road or the rear lane access. But since we haven't got that, we can't plan that, but we're doing the design in such a way that it could be either way. And just changing our signage would change out where the front door is. Legally, our address is down Fredbert Street. That's where the postman will go. That's where the ambulance will go when they first go. So we need to advertise Fredbert Street as an address. But in the long term, we might have our first-time visitors coming off Wharf Road if we had that legal access. Right now, it's not as good as we would like. So we're sort of designing it so it's adaptable. But currently, the legal access is still Fredbert Street for visitors.
When Ms. Taylor asked you recently, would you agree to be actively involved in promoting the use of that side pathway from Wharf Road so that more people learn to park in Wharf Road or on the Department of Health lands and use that entry, how would you do that?
We meet with residents and family on a quarterly basis, our operational staff do, and we'd have that as part of the discussion. We have information packs when residents first join or come to our facility. It would be part of that residents' information pack about how do they park, where do they park, you know.
All right.
So it would be part of that induction process.
And there'll be signage on the site.
And signage.
Directing people.
There's new
to
signage
that.
As part of this project.
All right. So we're envisaging encapsulating all of that in the conditions. And since we're still of a mind that a deferred commencement is needed to try get the formalisation of that, either an easement or a right-of-way or something that is more definite than the licence, because as we know, licences can be revoked almost at any time.
We do have plans that, you know, if you need, I can share with you, which show us how we would operate without that rear access. You know, it was always part of the 1991 consent that we had to be able to operate off Wharf Road, and we do have plans of how trucks and garbage would be delivered off Wharf Road. Unfortunately, we lose more on-street parking by the time you have to manoeuvre heavy vehicles onto our site, but that's the consequence of losing access around the back, and we didn't want to put that into place until the Department of Health pulled the plug on us.
Yeah. One last question. You mentioned something about having a digital access key to the basement car park from Fredbert Street. Do I understand now that the staff can't just go to, the door was closed today, the roller door into the basement. The staff can't get in that door.
No, there is a swipe card system to go down there, but there's not many swipes. It's a very old system and we're upgrading and replacing that.
So, okay.
And in the new system it'll have intercoms as well, so anyone could have access.
All right. Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. On this matter, the panel's had a brief discussion and we've decided we wish to adjourn and discuss this application in greater detail before we come to a decision. But unless there's anything more that the applicant or the objectors wish to raise, we'll do that. I think we won't adjourn until the end of the of this meeting so that we can get through the rest of the agenda without holding people up.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes,
all right, thank you. We'll now proceed to item number 6, which is DA 201863, 43 to 45 Junction Road, Summer Hill. That's partial demolition of existing structures and construction of a 15-room boarding house with associated car parking. And I think we have here a Charmaine Belfanti who wishes to make a presentation.
Excuse me.
Oh, big pardon.
This is where we're going to get the applicant
first. Oh. Do you want to do that now?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Belfanti, if you'd like to stand down for a moment. The panel's decided they'd like to hear from the applicant first because there's a number of matters of concern. And so we thought after we've heard from the applicant, then we could hear from the objectors in regard to the solutions of those issues. Thank you. So speaking for the applicant, I think we have the owner. Is it Mr. Khalil?
That's right.
Would you like to come to the microphone, please? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Khalil.
Thank you. My name is Fred Khalil. I'm the applicant for 43 Junction Road, DA. Firstly, can I start off with thanking the panel for attending the site today and actually visiting the site in person. Unlike the author and the Inner West Local Council, when they made the withdrawal letter, I believe that they didn't even attend the site. When I spoke to the assessment manager, I was told that the assessment manager drove past the site. So what you can see driving past the site and not being in person is beyond me. So thank you very much for yourselves for attending there. It makes things a lot clearer. I'd like to first start off with yes, I am representing myself at the moment. I do have professional advice with this. However, the town planner that gave me the professional advice now for this was deemed by the council when he attended a meeting as a may possibly be a conflict. So we respectfully didn't invite the town planner today, considering this town planner was part of the panel that assessed this this DA for the last 5 years, to his disbelief that this has been withdrawn. I'd like to address the panel by requesting for a deferral of consideration of the application to allow amendments, okay, as to the lack of procedural fairness. These plans have been amended about four times. We've had four provisional DA meetings. When I submitted the DA, when I was told once these amendments have been fixed up and submit the DA, the amalgamation occurred with Inner Ashfield, Marrickville and Leichhardt Council to become Inner West Council. All the town planners that worked on his DA have since resigned, have moved elsewhere. It appears that the majority of the new council now is Leichhardt. To me, I believe it's more of a political issue. However, I'm here to address the planning issue. I just thought I'd have to give you background, but I believe, though, I've been involved in a political dilemma here, because I've got letters here from... When I submitted the DA, this has been all given now to a whole new panel of Leichhardt, of Inner West Council, a whole new planners and heritage consultant. Although the heritage consultant for the previous Asheville Council sat on this for 4 years, right, that was totally disregarded. Mm. Wow, that's the fastest 3 minutes I've ever had.
Yes. It does go quickly.
Wow, but, unbelievable,
but listen,
unbelievable.
We want to hear more from you. I just want to let you know that we're dealing with the application as it is today. So I regret that it's taken so long for you to get to a point of decision, but we're dealing with what's here, and we need you to address those issues that you can see in the report, and I believe you've seen the report, to address the things that the council officers are saying indicate that it should be refused.
That's correct. However, the submission that I've given to the panel to have a look at, all the issues raised by the council and all the reasons as to professional advice from senior town planners that actually worked on this case as to the reasons why, what we have put there as to the reasons why we believe that this submission, this DA should be approved. And all it is, this slight... a deferral, all it is, these conditions can be amended and also conditions can be put in place. Setbacks have been addressed. The heritage issue has been addressed. When we talk about heritage, we talk about diversity. We see flats there, we see semis there, we see schools across the road, we see shops. It's diversity. So where we get heritage is unbelievable. It's like one of the panels today that attended the site stated as to why the shop should be kept there. I did not want it there. It's a heritage issue, so therefore that's why we kept it there. So all these issues have been addressed. But as I said, my wife has also got another 3 minutes, so I don't want to take more of your time. She could read out these points here to you. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like I said, there's no use for me reading it, and although you've got it in front of you. But do you have any questions for me?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
What document you have in front of you, but whatever it is, we don't have it, and we only have the material that you've already lodged with the council, and they have made a response in relation to that, and they think there are 13 reasons why your boarding house should not be approved. Now I want to ask you, for example, one of the things that's required after a certain number of people is to have a boarding house manager on site. Why haven't you provided one?
Thank you very much for that question. I don't have it listed as a boarding house manager, but that could be done as a condition, and we can make one of the rooms as a boarding house manager's quarters. So there's nothing wrong with that. We can make it as a condition. The council.
Well, why didn't you provide that too? You've now learnt that that's required. So you're saying you would agree to that?
I totally agree to that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in relation to the heritage requirement to keep the shop. You don't have to keep it as a working shop.
No. So in regards to that, it's... I've got it down here. We've got it down here. Lack of... it's down here as... permissibility. It says here, it's issue number 5, permissibility. The space noted on the plans are existing retail, which is in fact intended to be used as shop, which is a permissible use. We are happy to accept a condition of consent to change the wording.
Well, so it's not about changing wording, Mr. Carlyle. It's about changing your application. The shop is not a permissible use at the present time. The only way you can have a shop, if you've got legal existing use rights, which you haven't proved. And that takes quite a bit of doing, and that comes in at the time of the development application being lodged. Basic legal rules about this kind of matter. However, it doesn't need to be a shop. The heritage nature says you keep the structure, but you don't have to keep it as a shop. It, from what we saw, it didn't seem to me a likely place for a successful shop. Have you given any consideration to what shop it would be?
We thought maybe that could be as a cafe, because we've been approached by many people to have it as a cafe or a milk bar, as it was back in the 1950s, 60s.
And how would that work with it being attached to a boarding house?
It's not attached to the boarding house. There's a car space between the boarding house and the shop. So it's only like a local milk bar. But if the council don't intend for us to have it as a shop, that's fine. We can make it as a condition, and we can make that as part of the...
Mr Carlyle, you have not done so.
No.
See, we're meant to have a final document here that we say yes or no to, not we could do this, we could do that. You've got to make the decision and put it in. And so far, there are 13 reasons given by the council why you should not have this application. For example, what have you done about the fact that there is major overlooking from your rooms to all the residential properties around?
In relation to issue number four, privacy. Privacy can be addressed with simple modifications of conditions. Example, highlight windows to the upper level west side windows and privacy screens to the open walkways to the east. Possible noise can be addressed by way of conditions of consent and a plan management. So in relation to windows, we could put the highlight windows. We've got screens on the eastern side, highlight windows on the western side. And we've done a setback. If this DA was changed to a residential dwelling, a two-storey residential dwelling, the setback would be about 800-900. We've gone back 1.5 metres. So, and like I said to you on site, the first level is below terrain. So, and the windows can be raised to highlight windows. That eliminates any viewing for the western side persons. And on the other side, we could have screening like we've got.
Mr. Carlyle, what do you say about the council's assessment that the boarding house rooms on the ground floor are unacceptable in terms of amenity for your incoming residents because they are in the nature of a basement?
It does comply because we've had our town planner which says it does comply, and so does and with the architect. So if it didn't comply, that we wouldn't have done that. So it all complies, otherwise we wouldn't have actually put that in.
That might be your opinion. Unfortunately, the council's assessment is contrary to you for 13 reasons. You can't do this all by merely putting conditions on the consent. Those conditions you are suggesting would require amended plans to be provided. You're meant to write the plan of management to tell us how you will manage all of these problems.
But these are issues which we could have raised at a meeting, but the first meeting I had with the Inner West Council, okay, only addressed the procedural fairness. There was no procedural fairness in this whole process with the Ashfield Council and the new Inner West Council. That's the first meeting. The second meeting we had with the Inner West Council, it was aborted due to the conflict of interest of the town planner being a town planner that worked on this DA for the last 5 years, 5-6 years or so. That the assessment manager of Leichhardt Inner West Council deemed it to be a conflict of interest, and out of all due respect, right, we did not have this independent town planner for us come and represent us today, just to respect the actual perceived view from the Inner West Council assessment manager.
But Mr. Carlin, haven't you had at least 4 pre-DA meetings with the council?
Yes, we have.
And none of them suggested that what you have brought here is satisfactory?
Yes, the procedure of Ashfield Council, right, will not accept, do not normally accept your DA and make you come and pay for the DA if it's not acceptable. That's the procedure of the Ashfield Council. But what happened was I got tied in with the Asheville Council and merging with the Inner West Council.
But that's happened a long time ago, Mr. Carlisle. It wasn't yesterday.
No, but when my plans were put in, when the DA plans were put into the Asheville Council, it was given not to one member of the old Asheville Council, it was given to a new panel of Inner West councillors, right, who've come up with total disregard to whatever was done in the last 6 years or so and whatever decisions were made by the Asheville town planners.
But I suggest to you no decisions were made, because this is the application that's being assessed here now. For example, why haven't you complied with the number of car parking spaces, the number of motorcycle spaces, and the number of bicycle spaces?
Thank you for that question, because in regards to issue number two, parking, the application lodged was long before the new SEP of car parking spacing rates was introduced. So notwithstanding, council has discretion to accept a lower rate, which would be appropriate given that there is a bus stop right in front of the property. The site has a train station about 650 metres away. The new light rail down of Junction Road and then down onto Old Canberra Road is about nearly a kilometre away, right? Having said all that, like I said, the council do have a discretion, right, to accept the lower rate of car parking, and the application was lodged well before the new SEP of car spacing came in.
Did that relate to the bicycles and the motorcycles as well?
No, it didn't.
No?
No, it didn't.
So these are just basic things,
yes,
Mr. Carlisle.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
And having been told by the council that your town planner was unacceptable because of his previous employment at the council, what did you do about that? Did you get another one?
With all due respect, I was notified about this process today, last Wednesday.
Yes, and when did they notify you about the town planner?
About a month ago. But the thing is, we were just trying to get legal advice. He was trying to get legal advice to find out whether it was really a conflict of interest. But his advice was only last week to us, was that if it's perceived as a conflict of interest, perceived by somebody, it's best and ethically not to attend and not to have any involvement with the council. So with that being in mind, there's nothing actually legally written down, but if it's perceived by somebody, it's best to stay back. And we're just doing a respectful thing. All we want is the right thing done. That's all we ask for. And all we ask for is procedural fairness. And we believe that we have not got procedural fairness, and we've done the right thing. We've changed the plans so many times. We've been to so many pre-lodgement meetings. I did not want to waste my money by doing this application and doing the DA. We followed every step that they asked for. Okay, we've been pushed from pillar to post, even by this town planner. He's the one that gave us such a hard time. Even him gave us such a hard time. But we still stuck with it, right? And like I said, bulk and scale, we pushed it back. Setbacks, we pushed it back. If we just get rid of all this and build just a duplex, the setbacks will be way closer to the neighbours. We've pushed it all over to the other side, to where the terrace is stuck to the terrace. We were also told by the Asheville Council that to survey the heights of all the buildings around us. We did that again, so then we had to adjust the heights. So we fixed the heights to make sure they're in line with the buildings next door. Not one of the Inner West Council planners have been to the site to inspect the site personally. Why do you four have to be there before you come to this panel? Is it to make our understanding a lot better and a lot thorough? What is it? Are they better than us? All we ask for is a bit of respect and a bit of procedural fairness. That's what we only ask for. Not to just drive by doing 40, 50 kilometres an hour.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much. Thank you. Do you have any further questions?
No, I think that's covered those. But your wife, I believe, wants to speak.
And excuse me for being a little bit personal about it. So.
No, that's right. I understand you're the applicant and you're the owner.
It's not a much money issue here. Yeah. It's nothing to do with money issue. It's about fairness. That's all it is.
Yeah. And you've had 5 years, you say.
5 years getting smashed from pillar to post. And now Just total disrespect. Total disrespect.
Yes.
I understand that, you know, you can't get everything in your life. That's fine. But let's have a bit of communication here. Mm. Look what we've done.
Mm.
No, it's not a boarding house full of drug use and so on. We have a methadone clinic around the corner.
Yes.
We respect everybody, regardless of race, gender, their disabilities and what have you.
Mr. Carlisle, just one thing.
Yes.
On the 30th of July, a letter was sent to you from the council suggesting that you were not going to be successful and you should withdraw the application. So there has been communication with you.
Yes.
And they set out all the issues of concern that they've put into this report. That was July.
Yes.
This is October.
Yes.
So, what did you do?
Oh, I spoke personally to the person that the author of the actual the letter of withdrawal, and his exact comments were, look, Fred, we've got about 5 DAs of boarding house going to the land and environment. This is very sensitive, mate. There's about 100 notifications of objections, about 100, very sensitive. I said to him, are you making your judgment on these notifications, are you? I said, these notifications, when the council put the notification out and put it on the front of the property, one member of the neighbours photocopied the actual notification and fortunately left it there, sent it to all of Summer Hill residents.
I've heard that, Mr. Carlisle.
Yes.
And unfortunate, but nevertheless, you had subsequent meetings with the council staff after the letter in July that said the design was unsatisfactory and that you would need to redesign, and the redesign would be such that it wouldn't even be the same development. And that it would not be supported. That was the time for you to do something about it and not leave it until today.
But with all due respect, when I spoke to him, all his main concern was, his judgment was on the 88, where it was on 100 submissions. He said about 100 submissions. And I said, you cannot form your judgment on that. Instead of calling and saying, Fred, look, why don't we go out to the site and have a look? And I said, look, I've had so many pre-lodgements. I would not go spend my money because I work very hard, okay? And I'm not a developer. I'm not a builder. This is my first time. I have a family. So why don't you come out? Let's go through the property. Let's go on site and have a look. No. My first meeting was with the council about procedural fairness. It's as if, like, the last 6 years and the heritage advisor and the town planners that work for Ashford Council meant nothing. Absolutely nothing. So everything we did, everything that they said, everything that they recommended was thrown out the window. Where do you stand there? So where do I go? So now that we have another council, it's the Leichhardt Council, the Inner West Council is totally disregarded. They've got the same heritage advisor that was with this one here.
Yeah.
The plans weren't given to him, they were given to somebody else. Everybody has a different view. Where does it stop?
It doesn't seem to me that everyone has a different view, I'm afraid, because I've got the material here telling me that the council has said on a number of occasions to you that this was unsuccessful. But nevertheless, your wife wishes to speak.
Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for the excessive time you gave me.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and
good afternoon,
respective panel. Thank you. Just in relation to what my husband has said, I think he's covered a few technical issues. I'm just here to cover a few issues which have come up in relation to community, and I just want to say that our sense of community in Summer Hill, I've been brought up in Summer Hill, I lived all my life in Summer Hill, our sense of community has always included everybody in the community. Our intention to build a boarding house was not so that we would disturb the neighbours. Our intention was to take a building which at the moment is an absolute waste in the community and turn it into something that somebody can use and we can have residents there to enhance the school across the road, to enhance the terraces in front of the in front of the street to enhance the surrounding area and to call it the Summer Hill that that some of the residents have been so outspoken about. Our intention is a community intention. The things that we have, that my husband has raised, is that in the beginning, the application with Ashfield Council had become acceptable. When the change with the Inner West Council came about, it is now completely different. We're not asking that it go ahead. We're asking it to go ahead, but we're also asking that the Inner West Council work with us as well. We're not doing this so that my husband and I can live in it. We're doing it for the community. And we ask that Inner West Council be part of that community and help us to do it, not reject every single thing that we have put through. It is not an unreasonable application. It is quite a good application. And we want to work with the community, especially the council. If there can be a consideration for deferral, we can work with the council. Otherwise, I don't know how long it will be until it's accepted. We would like to do it as soon as possible. That area, as the panel went this morning, and my apologies for not being there, I had a prior arrangement, but I'm sure that you saw the conditions that are inside. The conditions, it attracts squatters, it attracts people who don't care about the community or have no intention of caring about the community, and that is what we want to change. We want to bring somebody in there who cares about the community, like I have for the past 50 years and like my husband has and like our children do. We work very closely with the school, we work very closely with the community, and we'd like to continue to do that. And again, the letter that was sent out, as a couple of residents printed it, was on your letterhead. So every resident in Summer Hill and Ashfield and Dulwich Hill that received this, they perceive it to be coming from you, from the Inner West Council. The letters that we have got at home are absolutely disgusting. Addressed to my husband are absolutely disgusting. But those letters were not included in the council letters that were sent to us, that we asked for. We got personal letters that said that they went to council, but they weren't included in the council letters that came to us. But we got personal letters threatening us and undescribable, vindictive letters about the people that were going to move into these areas, the people that were going to move into boarding houses, the alleged people that live in boarding houses bring disrepute to the community. That's why I'm here. Fred did some talking on some technical issues. I'm doing it on a moral issue. Our background, we were police officers for 20 years. That doesn't go unsaid, because our morals and our ethical standards are very, very high in the community, and that's what I would like you to take into account today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Khalil. I'd like to make the observation that the panel is of the view that the site could be appropriately developed as a boarding house, but we have these reasons that the council officers have given us why it doesn't comply with the current legislation. Now, I've had some experience in dealing with similar applications, and one of the problems of the boarding house legislation is that people identify it with what we might call old style boarding houses, which let's say left something to be desired.
Yes, I agree.
Whereas the new legislation largely requires people, A, who can afford a bond, B, who can sign a lease for a minimum period. I think in the legislation it's 6 months or something of that kind. And so it is providing, if you like, good quality accommodation of a low-cost nature in areas, particularly like Summer Hill, where Honestly, owning a house in that area probably is worth towards the $1 million.
I completely agree.
Or even perhaps more. But, and that is part of the confusion in the community about what the modern form of boarding houses are meant to be. So I just want to make that as an observation. But the panel has this report before us, which we need to make a decision on. And I think we have reached a conclusion on that, but I think Mr. McInerney, was there more? The residents were going to speak at this stage. We'd like to hear from the residents.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Is it Charmaine Belafonte? Yes. Could you mention your name, please?
Again, I'm Charmaine Belafonte. I'm a resident in Bartlett Street, one of six adjoining properties that are impacted by this development.
Thank you.
So I want to raise three points: internal amenity and sunlight, privacy and character. So I just saw this morning, my kitchen is the only room in my house which is small, dark and cold that gets direct sunlight, and it gets the morning winter sun. Now, whilst this proposal complies with the 3-hour solar access, it removes that morning sun, gives me sun during work hours, and the remaining sun actually projects to the eastern fence, which provides warmth to the western boundary of the proposed development. So the sun is moving away from my living space, the only space that I get any sun, and my only substantial sunlight. The six adjoining properties have very small outdoor spaces. The 3 hours sunlight will not sustain our vegetable gardens, which currently only get enough sunlight along one boundary. In the winter, my washing doesn't get any sun. So the bulk of the design encloses our small backyards because of the tall western wall and hems us with a wall and limited sunlight. So secondly, again, as you saw this morning, this one, the proposal looks directly into my kitchen. This is where I spend most waking hours, and it's where I entertain. Having to consider how I dress in my own house impacts my psyche. And quoting from one of council's reports, future residents must not be required to choose between privacy and internal amenity. And I assume that would apply to all residents. As I said, my kitchen is my only entertaining space, and that flows out into the backyard through glass sliding doors. The adjoining Bartlett Street properties all entertain in the backyard because of small internal space. And thirdly, about the character, the proposal benefits from historic zoning that no longer applies to its use and is not afforded to any other surrounding property. My design was limited to protect the streetscape of Bartlett Street. I was unable to change the roofline and I could not put on a second story. This proposal is visible from Bartlett Street and it replaces this view of sky, trees and architectural profiles with a wall. It changes the backdrop and creates elements, the zoning rules that apply to us, aim to prevent. The proposal doesn't complement or respect the character of the Trafalgar Street Square Heritage Conservation Area. It doesn't conserve its small-scale aesthetic significance and rarity. And it's out of character with the low density of its neighbours, which impacts noise, waste, energy and parking, which is already stressed. I just finish with, I fully support affordable housing. I think Sydney residents have suffered over the long term, over decades of short-sighted planning. Some councils have adopted strategic, sensible policy where the new developments must give over some of their development to affording housing. And with the amount of development going around in the Inner West, those new developments are going to deliver much more affordable housing than 25 lodges in this proposal and with the added benefits of community integration.
Oh, sorry. If there are no other questions from the panel, our next speaker is Mr. Daniel Harasim.
Harasim.
Again, we had the opportunity to go and look through your property. Thank you, Mr. Harasim.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm going to summarise the detailed document that was presented to Council on the 28th of May this year. Currently, I'm enjoying a mostly serene environment and have been doing so for the last 8 years. The proposed development will increase occupants from less than 5 to greater than 30, and with that will come noise, no matter how many rules are put in place. Noise reading instruments were placed close to 41 Junction Road. No measurements were taken at 45 Moonbee, which will be greatly impacted by noise from the open rear, upper and lower staircases and landings and the open communal, which I class as entertainment areas, and patio areas. The provisional DA conceded that there will be an impact from noise from the communal area. My backyard backs directly onto the common areas. Where will the air conditioning plant be located? Little details provided, and I have concerns about the noise generated from the plant. Windows will be operable. Concerns over noise from TV, hi-fi and general conversation through open windows. The proposed acoustic barrier will do nothing to mitigate the noise. The DA does not adequately consider the noise impact on my property. In regards to privacy, from the proposed communal outdoor areas and open staircases and landings, tenants will be able to view directly into my backyard and first floor bedroom. This will have a significant and adverse impact to my lifestyle and an unacceptable impact to the amenity of my residence. Overshadowing, the height of the structure will be approximately double that of the existing, which will physically impact the western side of my property, creating a claustrophobic environment with decreased sky view, which is already at a premium. Structural risk. The proposed excavation along my western boundary, along with the excavation along my northern boundary to accommodate stormwater, poses a significant risk to the structural integrity of my 130-year-old home and is a recipe for disaster. Why can't the stormwater be directed through to Junction Road? Parking. 4 spaces for 28 plus residents and visitors is totally inadequate and in an area where parking is a premium. Number of tenants. Does the developer know how many will be accommodated between the SEE, DA notification and the provisional DA and acoustic report? There is conflicting information regarding number of rooms, maximum number of tenants and maximum number of visitors allowed. This needs to be qualified. The dominance of the structure is an overdevelopment and will have a major impact on my property and my lifestyle. Thank you very much.
The next speaker or presenter is both Human and Wilson Hyun. Both of you wish to come?
Yes.
That's fine.
Can we come both on?
Yes, if you could.
Shall I start now?
Yeah. Good afternoon, members of the panel. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I support the Council's recommendation for refusal. The structure is excessive, oversized and intrusive. It's inconsistent with that provided in the heritage report. It's out of character with the conservation area. It's a design that sacrifices livability for occupancy, invades neighbours' privacy, including my own, with inadequate parking. Our property is located on the northwest boundary right over here. There's direct line of sight from their large windows in their upper floor levels, which are large and long, and along with the common area window, which is also large but unobscured by the balustrade. There's direct line of sight into my open plan backyard, dining area, and most importantly, my master bedrooms on the first floor. It's a very large room that's reliant on 2 windows for any form of light and ventilation. Occupants can clearly see inside the full extent of a person, be it day or night, on those images. My dining area is also vulnerable from the elevated position. You can see my dining table just standing there. I should not be forced to be choosing between maintaining my own privacy versus light and ventilation. If I was to close my blinds, it's a blackout in my master bedroom. There's no natural light at all. Privacy is a real issue. The common area and terrace are potentially noisy and busy areas, and it's not just your long-term regular neighbour that you get to know and there's mutual respect. This is 26, up to 26 strangers that are going to be cycling through on short-term leases. Building right up close to the boundary line with large low-sealed windows overlooking us from an elevated position compounds this. The outdated acoustic report is biased in its sampling position, as already mentioned. It doesn't make any